At first glance, the poetry of medieval Iran following 200 years of Muslim Arab rule seems to be totally dominated by men, such as Rudaki, Ferdowsi, and Nezami, to name but a few. But two other enduring names in the literature of the Islamic Golden Age also emerge from the rough and tumble of life at royal courts, and they are both women. The first of these two female poets is Rabi'i of Balkh, known as Zainul Arab, meaning the beauty of the Arabs. I deliberately use the present tense is, as her story continues to have relevance today, as many newly built hospitals and schools in Afghanistan are named after her, and parents continue to proudly name their newborn daughters Rabi'i. Although the exact date of her birth is not known, it is thought that she was born around 940 AD in the city of Balkh, in the present-day Afghanistan, but at the time a prosperous urban centre in the Samanid Empire. Her father was Ka'b, the Amir of Balkh, and most likely descended from the Arab migrants or army chiefs who had settled in this corner of the empire. We have scant biographical detail of Rabi'i's early life, but by all accounts she was well educated in the arts and literature and was the adored daughter of an indulgent and affluent father. Her contemporary, Rudaki, the Samanid poet laureate, is known to have been impressed by her eloquence and mastery of language and poetic composition. Education for girls was not an unusual idea in the region of Greater Khorasan, where the pre-Islamic traditions and cultures had continued well into the Islamic era, and where daughters of the wealthy and noble received the same education in literacy and rhetoric as the sons. For centuries after her death, other poets referred to Rabi'i's virtues and her beauty, particularly her dark eyes fringed with long lashes. The trigger for the unleashing of her poetry seems to have been her love at first sight for a soldier in her brother's army. The story begins when her father, the Amir Ka'b, became ill and asked his son and would-be successor, Haris, to promise to look after his sister Rabi'i and to ensure that she marry a man worthy of her lineage and virtues. Soon after the Emir's death, Haris ascended the throne of the local emirate. It was at one of the splendid celebrations in the gardens of his palace that Rabi'i, watching from the rooftop of the women's quarters, first noticed a young man standing close to her brother and serving wine. Reportedly, his good looks and elegant manner impressed Rabi'i. This was Baktosh, a Turkic slave soldier and one of the guards at the treasury. In keeping with the cast of many Shakespearean romances, it fell to Rabi'i's nursemaid to act as messenger and to deliver her charge's love letters, composed in verse, to the soldier Baktosh. In one such letter, she besieged him to come and visit her. Alo, ey qayeb hazir, کجایی؟ به پیش من نه ای؟ آخر کجایی؟ بیا و چشم و دل را میهمان کن وگرنه تیغ گیر و قصد جان کن. O elusive presence, where are you? You are avoiding me, where are you? Come and let my eyes and heart feast on you. Or if not, take up the sword and end my life. Baktosh was soon captivated by the young girl's love, and one day, as their paths crossed in the grounds of the palace, he approached her and tried to touch the hem of her skirt. Enraged and furious, and possibly frightened that she might have been seen, she pushed him away and later sent him a scolding note in verse. جهان ای بی ادب این چه دلیری است تو روباهی تو را چه جای شیری است که باشی تو که گیری دامن من که ترسد سایه از پیراهن من. In this poem, she chastised Bakhtash for his impudence, wondering how he had dared to touch her. You are a fox, she wrote. How dare you act like a lion? Who are you to touch my robe when even my shadow dares not touch my skirt? Later commentators claim that these lines clearly indicate that she was not interested in him physically, but had used the idea of love for him as a conduit to articulate a spiritual love. Whether that was the case or not, she continued to write her love poems. But one day, her brother caught her wandering round the garden and wistfully reciting her poem. الا ای باد شبگیری گذر کن، زمن آن ترک یغما را خبر کن. او ایونینگ بریز، بلو آن اند دلیور نیوز آف می تو دت ترکیک سلیو. Challenged as to the identity of the Turkic slave, Rabe managed to persuade her brother that he had misheard her, but the seeds of suspicion were sown in his mind. Not long after this, Prince Haris was at an audience with the ruler of Bukhara, who had provided him with armed support during one of the local skirmishes, and he heard his sister's poetry being recited again. This time by drunken courtiers. Their loose talk left him in no doubt that the slave soldier Bakhtash was his sister's love interest. Upon his return to Balkh, Haris ordered the arrest and imprisonment of Bakhtash, and he also had his sister Rabi'i locked up in the royal bathhouse with orders to slit her wrists. It is said that she wrote her last poems on the wall of the bathhouse in her own blood as she lay dying. This image and what little remains of Rabi'i's poems have haunted and inspired generations of later poets. And to this day, her poetry is often learned by heart by many in the Persian-speaking world. Today, the name Rabi'i is synonymous with female courage, and her mausoleum in Balkh, which was closed during the reign of the Taliban, has now become a shrine, particularly for the young, who consider her as a beacon of resilience and someone who bore her fate with equanimity. 170 years or so after the tragic death of Rabi'i, and 1,000 miles to the west, another extraordinary female poet, Mahsati, was born in the city of Ganje, presently the second largest city in the Republic of Azerbaijan. The city was then one of the many centres of Persian art and literature, flourishing under the command of the Saljuq kings who ruled over a vast empire from 1037 to 1194. Unlike her tragic predecessor, Mahsati seems to have been married and enjoyed immense popularity at the Saljuq court, as well as with many ordinary people, even though she was twice jailed after apparently offending the ruler. She writes in one of her poems, دست چومنی که پای بند طرب است در خام نگیرند که در زر گیرند. Fine hands such as mine that are tied to the art of fun should not be tied to leather of captivity, but rather adorned with gold. She was treated as the poetess laureate at the court of Sultan Sanjar, whose rule came to an end in 1157. Again, we know little about Mahsati's early life. Her father was probably a minor courtier who had by all accounts provided an excellent education for his daughter. And by the time Mahsati was 19, she was an accomplished musician, playing the lute and harp, and was well versed in literature. Mahsati married Amir Ahmad Tajuddin, the son of a Ganja preacher, and it is claimed that her husband was also a poet. Indeed, some of the quatrains attributed to them seem to be the kind of cynical and sexually explicit conversations one might expect between a married couple. most of the details of Mahsati's life, including references to her alleged lovers and disdain for religious dogma and patriarchal authority, come from her contemporaries or poets and biographers a century later. About a life confined to indoors, she writes, ما را به دم پیر نگه نتوان داشت، در حجره دلگیر نگه نتوان داشت، آن را که سر زلف چو زنجیر بود، در خانه به زنجیر نگه نتوان داشت. You cannot keep me tied to an old man's breath, not in a tiny gloomy room. She whose hair folds like braids of chain cannot be chained inside the house. One of the most refreshing aspects of Mahsati's poetry is that in her works we encounter people from all walks of life: cobblers, textile merchants, pigeon fanciers, weavers, bakers, butchers, farriers, carpenters, and apprentice physicians practicing out of bathhouses. Her quatrains, with their formal refinement and rich content, are every bit as good as the best of similar poetry of the 12th century, such as the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Mahsati is known for her risque poetry and her love of ribaldry, and for blithely following where her heart led. It is of course possible that she did not write all the poems that are attributed to her, but there is a feminine sensibility that links the best of them. In this poem, she expresses her longing for the lover who has left her. شبها که به ناز با تو خفتم همه رفت، دورها که به نک مژه سفتم همه رفت، آرام دل و مونس جانم بودی، رفتی و هر آنچه با تو گفتم همه رفت. Those nights when I slept softly in your arms have gone. All the pearls I polished by my lashes have gone. You were a balm for my soul and a loved companion. You left, and all that I shared with you have gone. The poetry of Mahsati, while personal and introspective, is full of an irrepressible vitality. It is hedonistic and brims with a disarming sense of humour and a healthy dose of cynicism, all characteristics which no doubt count for her immense popularity. Today, there are monuments dedicated to Mahsati in the city of Ganje, and in May this year, UNESCO commemorated and celebrated the 900th anniversary of her life. Although Rabi'e and Mahsati are the only two known women poets of the medieval Iran who at times seem more legendary than real, there must have been other women in that period who would have participated in the literary and musical culture of the day. If not in the public court of the kings, then certainly in the parallel life of the harem, but virtually no records of their work seem to have survived. It is clear that for the medieval Muslim poetess, Virginia Woolf's idea of money and a room of her own were far from the only essentials. For several centuries, the voices of women poets were either silent or their writings simply not recorded. But all the while, the tale of Rabi'e's tragic love continues to touch the hearts, and Mahsati's effortless control of rhyme and epigrammatic verse manages to hold its own alongside 900 years of mainly male poetry.